Hi, I'm Emily Feinberg. I am a professor at BU School of Public Health and the Department of Pediatrics at BU Medical School. And I'm going to present our study looking at the mental health of mothers of young children with autism spectrum disorder. Mothers of children with autism consistently report high levels of psychological distress, including parental stress and depressive symptoms. Almost 40% of mothers report clinically significant parenting stress, and up to 50% report depressive symptoms warranting psychiatric evaluation. The most effective interventions for young children with autism are highly demanding, time-intensive, and actively involve parents as adjunct therapists. The prevalence of psychological distress among mothers of children with autism and the importance of supporting parental functioning suggests a need for interventions that specifically address parental mental health during the post-diagnosis period. To date, however, the majority of intervention approaches for young children with autism fail to address the types of psychological distress most often reported by parents. The objective of our study was to investigate the efficacy of a brief cognitive behavioral intervention, which we call problem-solving education, or PSE, to prevent or attenuate parenting stress and depressive symptoms among mothers newly diagnosed with autism. Our hypothesis was that PSE would prevent clinically significant parenting stress and depressive symptoms by strengthening maternal problem-solving skills, which would serve as a buffer against the negative impact of life stressors. We conducted a randomized trial of 122 mothers recently diagnosed with autism, comparing PSE to usual care. We enrolled English or Spanish-speaking mothers with a child under 6. There were no specific depression risk criteria other than having a child with autism. The participants were recruited from 6 Boston area community-based early intervention programs and 1 autism specialty clinic that served an ethnically diverse, primarily low-income urban families. And this is the theoretical model that our intervention was based on. And this is very similar to the theoretical model that grounds problem-solving treatment, which itself is an evidence-based depression treatment. We focused on the section of this model that went from negative life events toward maternal mental health. We hope in later studies to look further at improved child outcomes, but that was not the focus of this study. The intervention group received 6 sessions of PSE. PSE is a manualized cognitive behavioral intervention adapted from problem-solving treatment. The adapted intervention was designed such that it could be taught to and delivered by the range of multidisciplinary staff who work with families of young children with autism. In early intervention programs, it was fully integrated. It was fully integrated into the existing early intervention program and was delivered by early intervention staff. For children who were seen in the autism clinic, it was delivered by researchers. Usual care was care defined in the child's IFSP or IEP and available in the community. During each 30-minute workbook-based PSC session, mothers worked one-on-one with a trained interventionist, which we referred to as an educator. And the four goals of the intervention were to understand the link between current problems, stress, and depressive symptoms, to define problems and set concrete, realistic goals, to teach a systematic problem-solving strategy, and to promote behavioral activities, particularly pleasant social and physical activities. The study had 2 primary outcomes, parenting stress and maternal depressive symptoms. Parenting stress was assessed using the Parenting Stress Index short form. We analyzed parental stress relative to a pre-specified threshold defined as a percentile score above the 90th percentile. A percentile score in this range represents clinically significant parenting stress and signals a need for referral to treatment. Depressive symptoms were measured using the Quick Inventory of Depressive Symptoms, or the QIDS. We analyzed QIDS depression scores relative to a threshold of a score greater than or equal to 11, corresponding to moderate severe symptomatology. Based on previous work with low-income urban women, a QIDS score greater than or equal to 11 has greater than 88% specificity for predicting a major depressive episode. We collected data through face-to-face interviews at baseline 3, 6, and 9 months. We did additional telephone assessments of depressive symptoms only in the intervening months at 4.5 and 7.5 months. We conducted an intent-to-treat analysis, and we estimated relative risk of reporting clinically significant parenting stress and depressive symptoms over 9 months of follow-up from longitudinal Poisson regression models, and we did adjustment for baseline symptoms. So I'm going to present our study findings now, present our sample characteristics, measures of intervention delivery, fidelity, and safety, and our outcome measures. We collect detailed information on mother and child characteristics at baseline. There were no statistically significant differences in study arms with the exception of maternal age and number of children, which were not clinically relevant. And as you can see, the mothers were majority low income and minority. Although we did not select mothers based on depression risk, on average, mothers had mild depressive symptoms and moderate levels of parental stress. There was many mothers had previous history of depression, family history of depression, and a history of trauma. The children in the study were largely male, which is reflective of the population of children with autism. The mean age at diagnosis was 29 months, and mean age at study entry was 35 months. The severity of communication delay, which was similar across study arms, was assessed using the ABAS, or the Adaptive Behavioral Assessment System. Almost all the children have received EI services either at the time of the study or in the past. This is the consort diagram for our trial. And as you can see, we assessed 165 mother-child pairs for eligibility. 122 were randomized. And then relative to intervention delivery, 46 of 59 intervention subjects, or 78%, completed the full six-session course of treatment. Four participants received no sessions. And greater than 90% of all planned follow-up assessments were completed over the nine-month follow-up period. We assessed intervention fidelity in 34 of 328 randomly selected PSE sessions. We used a fidelity assessment form, and it assessed the seven steps of our problem-solving education intervention independently, and it assessed whether specific components of the intervention were present and delivered according to protocol. A score of 90%, which meant that it was ended up being 37 of 42 items, were required to meet fidelity standards, and all sessions did meet fidelity standards. Because we enrolled mothers with depressive symptoms, we had formal protocols to assess ongoing participant safety. Over 9 months, the CROSIS protocol was implemented 12 times for 11 mothers who endorsed suicidal thoughts, 28 times for 12 mothers with severe depressive symptoms without suicidality, and there were no adverse events. So what did mothers do in these sessions? Mothers discussed a range of problems. The most common were related to child issues. However, the focus of the intervention was not specifically on providing children's behavioral treatment. So issues such as finding childcare or figuring out how to discuss the child's diagnosis with the family were the types of problems that were addressed. The second most common type of issues addressed were maternal personal issues. We divided our outcomes into 3-month and longitudinal outcomes, and I'm going to present both here. And we actually have a paper with the 3-month outcomes that will be coming out in JAMA Pediatrics this week. Our view was that the immediate post-diagnostic period was a critical time for families, and it underlies our rationale to present the 3 months outcomes independently. So this is parenting stress at 3 months, and we looked at, I'm both the mean and clinically significant symptoms. And as you can see, from a prevention perspective, the episodes of clinically significant symptoms we think are more relevant than and have greater impact on functioning than mean level. The mean level of parenting stress was not significant. However, the adjusting for baseline parenting stress, we found significant differences by treatment group for clinically significant parenting stress. PSC mothers were 83% less likely to report clinically significant parenting stress than mothers receiving usual care. In contrast to the parenting stress models, the mean difference in depressive symptom score was significant. While we had a large reduction in the relative risk of having clinically significant depressive symptoms at 3 months, the intervention effect was not statistically significant. And now I'd like to present our longitudinal models. So what you can see here is the top of, sorry. I see patients also, I'm a nurse practitioner, someone's looking for me. This slide presents longitudinal outcomes for parenting stress. A top slide presents the number and percent of women reporting clinically significant parenting stress at our different outcome assessments. And the bottom slide presents the relative risks of reporting clinically significant parenting stress over the follow-up period. And you can see from the relative risk that PSC mothers were 56% less likely to report clinically significant parenting stress than mothers receiving usual care. This is the same slide with the same format, looking at depressive symptoms. And again, you can see the outcomes for reporting of QID score, so clinically significant depressive symptoms, at our various outcome points, and there are more because we had telephone outcome assessments in addition. And what you can see is that the adjusted relative risk, again, was significant for reduction in clinically significant depressive symptoms over the length of the study. The limitations of our study. One limitation was we did not collect data on child outcomes, and we are not at this point able to assess the effect of the intervention on child outcomes. We believed it was important to assess the feasibility and efficacy of the intervention first before looking at its potential to affect child outcomes. So in conclusion, our findings demonstrate that PSE decreased the relative risk of experiencing clinically significant parenting stress and depressive symptoms over 9 months of follow-up. Evidence of successful intervention delivery and positive intervention effects support further testing of this brief, easily replicated intervention. I'd like to acknowledge our funders, Maternal Child Health Bureau, the Autism Research Program, the mothers who took part in this study, and the staff at participating early intervention programs and Boston Medical's Developmental and Behavioral Pediatric Division. And also many of our research staff are in the audience, and they did an absolutely terrific job in our follow-up. We were really, really pleased with both our intervention delivery and our follow-up rates in a really difficult population to follow. So thank you.
Yes. Do you have a sense in your population of mothers whether mental health needs have been long-term or are distracted as a result of parents?
Well, we did have history of mental health, prior history of depression and prior history of trauma. So for many, there had been history of depression. This was a very high-risk urban sample. We've worked in our similar settings for other studies, and so there's a fairly high underlying risk of depression, although we did not have that many women who would meet, who met clinically significant sort of depression, threshold for clinically significant depression at baseline. So I guess the answer is there's a fairly high level of underlying depression risk, but I think that's fairly typical of urban mothers, and we're adding an additional stressor of having a child with autism. And we actually thought this was really important population to work with, because if we could do anything to help prevent sort of what we refer to as spikes or elevated symptoms that might affect functioning, that was really the goal of our intervention.
Mm-hmm. Did you look at, I guess, was there any difference between the severity of autism in the child?
So we just finished all of our outcome measures for 9 months. So we have not done a lot of sort of digging in our data. So the only data we really have on severity is the ABAS. So we haven't looked to see whether that modified the effect of the intervention, but we have a significant main effect, so we're very happy with that. Questions?
I know you said that with the training and preparation for the study that it was actually the staff at the early intervention mm-hmm. and facilities in the clinics who were able to implement the intervention. Have you gotten a sense from any of those centers whether that staff felt like it was a helpful thing for mm-hmm. their patients? Do you think that it's something that they may continue to do past your research period?
So the answer is yes and yes. So we have worked with these centers both on this study and a March of Dimes study that was looking more specifically at depression prevention among mothers of kids, mainly with preterms and congenital issues. And the staff really liked it. We have finished both study, and there are staff at the centers that continue to ask for manuals to continue to deliver the intervention as part of their routine care. That's sort of our vision and hope for that forever, that this, just as EI programs offer sort of a range of services, that this might be one that would be sort of part of their menu, and for that there would be trained staff within each program that could offer this to mothers that they thought would benefit.
And do you think that the program is very specific to mothers and children with autism, or potentially for mothers of children with other developmental delays?
We do not think it's specific to children with autism. We have three trials going on now. As I mentioned, the one that's finished, which focused on mothers in early intervention whose children were born prematurely. We have another trial going on in Head Start, which is a depression prevention intervention, and another one in NICU, which is focused on mothers of preterms. So I think our common theme across all our studies is the relationship between maternal life stressors and demographic or psychosocial risk, and an intervention which is skills building and hopefully can prevent episodes that impair parental functioning.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn in the process of doing this about help-seeking strategies that parents or kids with autism are using?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the families we work with, and it's a parallel study, or not a parallel study, but a study that went on in our center that looks specifically at providing families with services after diagnosis. Yves, who's behind you, was one of the participants in that, she's one of the family navigators in that study. And I think that many of the families that we serve are so overwhelmed that they don't know how to, that there aren't help-seeking strategies other than what are sort of told to them by either their early intervention providers or by the diagnostic evaluation that they've had. So families a lot of families rely on the help of their early intervention providers to access. In Massachusetts, we have autism-specific services that exist outside of the early intervention, well, they're delivered by different vendors than early intervention. Families were not really able to negotiate very successfully on their own, like accessing SSI benefits. So help-seeking strategies, I don't want to say there weren't any, but they were very limited. Parents were enormously overwhelmed by the situation of their daily lives and managing their child's behavior. And so one of our goals is to actually integrate this intervention with some of the concrete supports to help families access the kinds of services that they're entitled to. Thank you very much.